Live from Los Angeles, it's an at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we fly. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
I am so excited about today's show, and I'm going to start off by telling a little bit on myself, in the sense that I, on occasion, when I try and kind of release some extra energy or just clear my mind and also get a little bit of exercise in, I'll walk around the area where I live. I don't go too far because I don't have a lot of time. And on occasion, I'll pass by a particular store that every time I am either driving by it or walking by it, I see lines and lines and lines. And this particular day, a couple days ago, the line wasn't that long. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, I should go in because the line's not long. And so I was waiting in line and got to talking to some young ladies, and I was enjoying the conversation with the two of them. And it came my turn to get into the store, and the store security guard looked at me and said, three. And without thinking, I said, yes, meaning the young ladies and myself. And so he closed the door again. And then I realized, oh, if it had been just me, I would have gotten into the store. So I said that to the ladies jokingly, and they thought I was serious. And they said, oh, we're sorry. And I said, no, trust me. The good news is there's nothing in that store that I need. And I said, and I'm perfectly happy enjoying this conversation with the two of you. Well, we became Facebook friends right there, then and there. And then finally, the three of us got let in. The interesting thing is that I walked out. There was nothing in the store that I needed, actually. But there were, I walked out of the store with my bags full of things for other people. And I didn't realize that I was going into this situation for a couple people in need of some things, and that I got things for some people that I wasn't expecting to get things for. And why am I saying this? Because at this particular time of year, when we think of New Year resolutions or what we're going to do this year, a lot of times they're directed to what can I do for me? How much weight can I lose, or how many muscles can I put on, or how much money can I make? My sentence of what I said before going into the store is, trust me, there's nothing in there I need. I don't even know why I'm going in there. Well, maybe, just maybe, I was going in there for other people. And so maybe, just maybe, for those of us who are still thinking about New Year resolutions and all, maybe, just maybe, we can think of what we're going to do for other people and with other people and for the planet and with the planet. And so I thought of that, sharing that story, because of what our guest is doing for animals, the environment, and so much more that I'm going to let her share with us. But I was inspired by that, and I'm grateful for that. And also our musical guest, very much along those lines. So when we come back, we're going to have our guest, Katie Cleary, and a little later on, our musical guest, Michael Fitzpatrick. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about as we continue with these New Year shows here in 2021. We'll be right back on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com. or AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And I am online with our producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur.
You know, I was thinking during the break how blessed and grateful I am, and we are, with the people that we have come to meet and that have been a part of this show. A past guest and member or founder of From the Heart Tribe, Sparrow Heatley, introduced us to tonight's guest, Katie Cleary, and our musical guest, Michael Fitzpatrick. These are two more truly authentic, deeply committed, and highly passionate individuals, and just going to be such a great show. I'm just really grateful.
Grateful indeed. So let's get right into it. Actually, how's this for a title? Giving Voice to the Voiceless. This comes right out of the work that our guest does. She's a filmmaker, a producer, a philanthropist, founder of World Animal News, and founder of Peace for Animals. We'll talk more about that when we get her on. Welcome, Katie Cleary, to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, well, thank you for being here. And thank you for inspiring that story of what we could do for others.
Exactly. You know, and I think that that's exactly what this year is about. Actually, I said a couple days ago on my Instagram page, it's about love. It's about compassion. It's about love. And it's about giving back. And whether that's to our planet, to other species, other sentient beings, and humans, because really, that's what it comes down to, having compassion for all living sentient beings. You know, my mission just happens to be animals, but humans play right into that too, because if we can't have compassion and help each other, then there's really no point. So, you know, we're all connected in one way or another. So that's really how I've been living the last, since 2012 when I founded, you know, foundation and my news network. So it's been quite the ride, but it's all very worth it for the animals. So
I'm happy to hear you say that. I want to share with the audience that how true you are to what you're saying and how you're saying it, because we had a conversation, and it wasn't until we were just about to hang up the phone that I said, oh, can I mention this? Like, you're so about the animals, you're so about the environment, that the fact that a lot of people would know you from America's Next Top Model, and all the modeling that you've done all over the world in huge international campaigns, that didn't even come up in the conversation for you.
It was it's interesting because I wouldn't say left that behind, but I've approached a new chapter in my life, and it really happened when I started the foundation and the news network, and then started producing the first documentary. And it was like an epiphany that I had one morning. I woke up literally in 2012 and I said, you know, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I've been in this business for, I'm going to be showing my age, but I've been in entertainment for 27 years. And I started when I was 11 years old. So for me, yes, I loved entertainment in the beginning. I still love it. I still enjoy it. But it wasn't about entertainment. It was about using entertainment as a platform to raise awareness for my passion, which is animals and specifically endangered species. So
kind of like, kind of like giving voice to the voiceless.
Yep, exactly. My favorite. Yeah. My favorite saying, really. But yeah, it really, you know, it really started at a very young age for me. But it also started simultaneously when I began my work in entertainment. So it was interesting how I feel that it was, it's definitely a mission, but I feel like, you know, God has given me this platform in order for people to listen to me for a greater purpose.
Well, you said you started at a young age, and we understand that you were talking about the modeling. What, but also the passion for taking care of animals. So tell us how that started.
Yeah.
How it manifested.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was around the same time, around like, I would say 10, 11 years old. I was, you know, I grew up in Chicago, and I was raised by a single mom, and we actually had a family vet, and I always wanted to be a veterinarian or a zoologist. You know, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, everyone would ask, you know, always ask you what you wanted to be growing up. And I was like, I want to be a veterinarian or, you know, work with wildlife or, you know, rescue, rehabilitate or whatever. And so that was like the going, you know, kind of, I would say a saying in my family, like everyone would say, like, you know, so, you know, are you really going to do this? Are you going to go to school for it? And I would always say yes, you know, and then my life took a different turn and was the entertainment, you know, began in entertainment and modeling at a young age. And then I thought, well, since the schooling is a lot to become a veterinarian or a zoologist, I thought maybe I could, you know, take a different direction and use the platform in entertainment and start my own organization. And it was really until I was watching, I think it was Animal Planet at the time, and Humane Society of the United States actually had their Genesis Awards on. And I was watching their award show, and it was kind of just giving these accolades to different animal activists and animal welfare organizations who are doing great work around the world. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be there one day. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to be there one day. And I want to be a part of that community and, you know, and help animals. And really it was about, like I said, endangered species, but mainly it started with tigers. And when I found out that there was only 5,000 tigers remaining in the wild, I was just, it pained me. I was horrified because my mom was always very passionate about cats and would buy me all these big cat books and really want to educate me about animals. And it really stemmed from, I think, her love and the education that she wanted to show me, you know, in order to, you know, kind of get me to where I am today, you know, and the passion I have for all animals. But definitely started with, I would say, big cats. So, yeah.
You know, one could argue that you did what you said you were going to do as a child. As a child, you might not have known that there were other avenues or other ways to help animals. But if your heart was intent on helping animals, well, here you are.
And that's the thing. Exactly. It's, you know, like I said, I could have been a veterinarian zoologist, but I feel like the direction that I took, you know, I feel like I have a greater impact now, not to say that, you know, that won't maybe happen in the future. Who knows? Maybe I'll go back to school and actually, you never know.
And you know, the number you gave of cats, it sounds such like a small number, but that was years ago. Tell us about what that number is now.
Yeah, that was, when I was 11 years old. So, you know, at that time, there was 5,000 tigers left in the wild. Sadly, there's more tigers in captivity in the state of Texas than in the whole world. So it's a big problem, and it's actually dropped by 50%. So it's estimated that there's only 2,500 remaining in the wild, and that's, of course, in Siberia and in parts of India. So it's just, it's absolutely shocking that we've come to this point where, you know, these animals are not just tigers, but pangolins, one of the most highly trafficked animals on the planet, just for, you know, trafficked for their scales and used for ancient Chinese medicine, or rhino horn, or, you know, ivory, which is carved into little, you know, elephant trinkets, just the result of human greed and negligence. And lack of compassion has brought us to this point where we're destroying habitat, we're destroying wildlife for our own needs and our own wants, and, you know, of which really doesn't have any true medicinal purpose. You know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I really hope that we're able to recover what little we have left. It's not just wildlife, you know, it's, you know, what we're doing to, you know, marine life. I mean, well, of course, marine life and marine mammals, but also farm animals, you know, and, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. You know, the undercover investigations that a lot of my friends who have amazing organizations do and literally dedicate their life to exposing what's happening to these poor farm animals, millions upon millions that die every year for just meat, the meat and dairy industry, and are abused and in these factory farming situations. And, you know, that also needs to be exposed, but there's not enough of us fighting for the voiceless. You know, I was asked when I was a young child, why animals? And I would always say, it's just a passion. I feel like it's a calling that I was given at a young age, because I don't think enough people speak about animals, or they may love animals, but they don't dedicate their lives to giving them a voice. And that's what I wanted to do.
Well, you've given them a voice and a movie and videos and are bringing awareness. One of the words that you didn't use was ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance, and ignorance not necessarily in the negative sense, but people don't know. And so I'd like to, well, what we're doing, what you're doing, and what others are doing, we're not alone, and that's the good news, is bringing awareness to this. We appreciate you being here to share, and when we come back, we'll talk more about world animal news and peace for animals, as we're talking with Katie Cleary on the Life Changes Show. A little later on, we're going to have Michael Fitzpatrick on the show with us as our musical guest, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I am Filippo, and our guest is a filmmaker, producer, philanthropist, founder of World Animal News, and founder of Peace for Animals, Katie Cleary. It's so great to be having this conversation with you and sharing awareness. Little later on in the show, we're going to talk about what we can do as individuals. However, Katie is showing us what we could do as individuals. She is an individual, and she has put her life into this and connected with other people to do the same. What are some of the things that you are doing or have already done, actually? Let's talk about the films.
Yeah. Well, the first documentary was actually just, it was a chance I took. And, you know, around the same time, World Animal News and Peace for Animals came to mind, I said, you know, I think I should do a documentary. And, you know, just growing up in, you know, modeling film and TV, I thought, well, you know, I've been on enough sets, you know, maybe I could, you know, hire a videographer and give this a try. And literally, I used my savings from a commercial I did. It was a, ironically, it was a proactive commercial that I had done, like, I would say 10 years ago, and it kept airing for like 7 years. And I used the residual in that commercial to make the movie. And it took me 3 years. I called up my best friend when I had the idea, and I said, would you like to direct it? And she said, absolutely. So she moved out to LA and helped me direct the film. And then I ended up acting as a sales agent for the film, and I sold it to Netflix. So it was, you know, but it was literally a first out of the box. I had no idea. Like, I had never done documentary. I had never produced a film before. And this was the first one. And I was just really thrilled that we were able to, you know, get it seen by the masses and really change some hearts and minds and educate people about what's really happening with animals around the world. So, yeah. So that was in 2015.
Because Katie's not going to say it, I'm going to say it. It won many awards. Award-winning documentary. And it's called Give Me Shelter. You're so modest.
What a few awards.
So now you're working on another documentary that we can talk about, although it not too much because it's not out yet. But that's called Why on Earth? What is that about?
Yeah, so Why on Earth is basically a follow-up to Give Me Shelter, but this time it's boots on the ground. We traveled to Kenya, South Africa. We traveled to Indonesia, so Sumatra and Borneo, covering orangutans and the palm oil epidemic there. We covered the ivory and rhino horn trade in Africa, and we also went to visit the people that are saving the last of their species. So Care for Wild Rhino Sanctuary in South Africa. We went to David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, which is one of the largest elephant sanctuaries. They rescue elephants from the ivory trade. You know, we saw the last two northern white female rhinos on Earth right after Sudan. The last northern male white rhino passed away, and they're trying to do in vitro fertilization to really save their species because they weren't able to repopulate. So it's just heartbreaking to really be in front of these amazing prehistoric giants and realize that you're looking at the last two of a species on Earth. So, you know, and just interviewing these amazing people that have dedicated their lives literally to saving these animals, and then making the connection to the environmental movement and the plant-based movement and how it's really all intertwined. And then the last interview that we did that I prayed for was Clint Eastwood. So Clint Eastwood is kind of our centerpiece. And he is a big animal rescuer as well. And so he's and of course, a big animal lover. So it was amazing to be able to speak to him and direct him in this film, because he's usually the director. And so it was really cool. It was just an unforgettable experience to have him kind of finish our film and complete our film, you know, to where it is now. So, yeah.
Well, we look forward to that. And actually, Give Me Shelter, it's still on Netflix. People can see it still on Netflix, right?
Well, actually, it came out in 2015. So it's usually like an 18-month contract with Netflix. So now you can see it on the website. I think you can also get it still on Amazon. I think, believe iTunes. But if you go to give-me-shelter.com, there'll be a list of platforms that you can see it, or you can probably, I think there's a link to buy it worldwide as well, just right on the website.
Okay, so, and when you say the website, that's the one you're talking about,
give-me-shelter.com.
Okay, a little later we're going to give all your other websites as well, because along with the film, you do like a regular a short video blog, like a blog, right?
Yeah, so we have World Animal News. So I founded that around the same time. So it was actually a podcast originally in 2012 for about a year and a half. And then I thought, you know what, I really want to form this into an actual news network. So we began doing breaking stories every single day. So I've got a team of women that helps me put them all together. And then we also do a follow-up, actually two follow-up videos a month, kind of, you know, condensing all the stories that we've done, kind of like a live broadcast that you would see on a news network. So yeah, so definitely tune in if you would like to get all the breaking stories in the animal world.
And that's worldanimalnews.com, actually.
Yeah.
Dot what?
Oh, .com.
Yeah, .com. Yeah, worldanimalnews.com. And you actually were filming one just today that you finished, right?
Yes, yes. It was the first one since the holidays. So, yeah, that'll be coming out, I believe, on Wednesday.
So, what is Peace for Animals?
So Peace for Animals is my charity behind everything. So, uh-huh. So Peace for Animals is the foundation that, you know, supports World Animal News and the documentaries and all the foundations that we also help around the world, our anti-poaching partners in Africa and the sanctuaries that we help and the legislation as well. So we work on legislation, which will also actually be a pretty big part of the film. So basically showing what's happening on the ground in Africa, Indonesia, all these other countries, and then showing how you can really affect change on a federal and a state level. Here in the United States.
Oh, so you're going to show that in the film?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'll showing.
Yeah, because that helps answer also a bit about what people can do. And if you show them how to do it, because a lot of people don't know to contact their elected officials about various causes like this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's probably one of the most effective ways to really have a big impact for animals is, you know, our elected officials work for us essentially. And so, you know, if you really want to see the biggest impact and the biggest change for animals, whether it be protecting the last, seven red wolves on Earth or, you know, the last, you know, polar bears in Alaska, whatever that your passion may be, if you have enough people behind you and you make a big enough stink, you can get a bill passed, but you have to really, have to work towards it. It takes about a year to do, and you really have to, do your research, but nothing's impossible. But you definitely have to contact your elected officials and let them know and do it, not just once or twice. You have to keep at it. You'll be able to make change. You will.
And they don't have to do it alone. And
no.
There are people like you doing it, and there's you doing it. So they can go to peace4animals.net, peace4animals.net.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you can, follow us on social media. And if you have any questions, you can also email us on the website. And, we also have a legislative partner that we work with, social compassion legislation. So, and that's on a state level. So we've gotten some bills passed, which is great. The Cruelty-Free Cosmetics Act was probably one of the biggest ones. The anti-puppy mill bill was another one. So, it's not the easiest thing, but really, if it's really worth it, it's not easy, right?
Well,
thank
you for being out there doing it. And what you mentioned about the puppy mill, that's a fine example of ignorance, and you're bringing awareness to this through your film. I was learning more about that too. On occasion I hear this or that, but there's so much out in the world. So you're bringing awareness, like the puppy mills, and you made a suggestion in the film. I think it was give me shelter. Don't actually. You have a cool phrase. What was that phrase you do? You say,
adopt, don't shop.
Adopt, don't shop. Yeah, it's stuck. Yeah. I mean, right, clever. And what does that mean exactly? Because some people still might not know.
Yeah, well, basically just don't, buy an animal. I mean, there's so many animals that are in need of a good home and, need to be rescued at your local shelter or even a rescue group. I mean, I can't tell you, and you guys probably don't want to know the millions of animals that get put down every year because they can't find homes. Because sadly, a lot of these shelters have to make room for other animals that they are saving from the street or that are owner surrendered, sadly, around this time, a lot of people have been relinquishing their animals because they can't take care of them, the pandemic or financial, troubles. It's really heartbreaking. And then on the flip side, also in the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people were also fostering and rescuing animals because they had time on their hands.
Right.
So, it's just, you know, I think the easiest thing that people can do to really affect change for animals is adopting, not shopping, from your local shelter, or even volunteering or fostering and saving an animal's life that way. Mm. Or, you know, well, or, and, reducing, you know, your meat consumption also, I mean, and saving lives that way, you know, because that really helps.
Let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We'll have a couple of minutes more with our guest, Katie Cleary. She also has a website, katiecleary.com, and Katie, KATIECLEARY.com. Then we mentioned Peace, the number 4, animals.net, and worldanimalnews.com. More with Katie Cleary when we come back. In our next segment, we have our Ask Dorothy question, and then we'll have our musical guest, Michael Fitzpatrick, live, all on the Life Changes Show at Home edition after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter Life Changes Show, and Facebook at the Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest is Katie Cleary. We mentioned earlier how she is all over social media, and she is on Instagram. You can find her at KatieCleary11. You can also find her at World Animal News, Peace, underscore the number 4, animals, and the movie that's coming out soon, Why on Earth Film. So looking forward to connecting more, Katie, and learning more from you. And thank you for sharing. You know, I mentioned earlier how you are bringing awareness. So I'd like to think that if people weren't ignorant to the fact that this little trinket we're buying, a whole elephant had to die just so that you could buy this little trinket, I'd like to think people would say, oh, wait, if that's the case, I don't need you to do that. Don't kill any more animals on my behalf, right?
Exactly. And we would hope, you know, for that to be the case. But I think a lot of times, you know, consumers are duped as well. And a lot of these products are being sold in Asia. So, you know, not to say that there aren't some loopholes here that we have to tighten up in legislation to protect endangered species. And, you know, we're still working on that on a state level and also a federal level. But I think, you know, this also needs to be addressed on an international level, because I think that that's where the large amount of this wildlife trade is happening. So,
you know, another thing you brought to light during our conversation, I you know, there, it's one thing if people are having turkey at Thanksgiving. I get it. It's a tradition, et cetera. But people that have to have turkey just to have turkey, and then they throw the turkey away because they'd rather have something else. But you have to have a turkey. Not really, right?
Not really. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, well, how am I going to get my protein? And how, you know, what about, you know, all the vitamins and the vitamin D and the milk and all that. And really, I mean, it's all these big companies. Meat and dairy industry has been lying to us from the beginning. And I can say that now because I've seen enough undercover investigations from organizations that we've covered on World Animal News that have just shocked me to my core about what happens to these poor animals who, you know, who don't want to die. I mean, they're very intelligent, they're aware, they know what's happening. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, what about humane slaughter? Or what about, they were treated well before they were, you know, they were killed. I don't really think there's a such thing, because you're killing the animals. So, I mean, whether the animal was treated humanely, you know, the end result is not humane. So I don't think that there's any such thing as humane meat, or, you know, I know they said the grass fed and all of that. I mean, you know, if that's what people want to hear because they want to feel better about what they're eating, you know, in actuality, you're killing an animal that doesn't want to be killed, and you're consuming that negative energy. So just from a spiritual and energy perspective, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, now if, you know, you're eating plants and fruits and vegetables, I believe there's a whole different, you know, connection, and it's a different ballgame. You can't compare the two, because, you know, these poor animals, you know, most of the time they do suffer, you know, for what, a burger, for just a moment of satisfaction. And then we're on to the next thing, you know, the next day and the next day and the next meal. It's like millions upon millions of animals we're talking are killed just for, you know, for a moment of satisfaction. And it just, I don't think it's fair. You know, I think there's too many things, too many alternatives out there to continue on the path that we've, you know, made for ourselves.
And speaking of a moment of satisfaction, another good point that you brought up in our prior conversation before the show, and that is how people adopt or buy puppies or kittens because they're cute and their kids want them, but then they think they just can return it or give it away or let it loose or something because it's not cute anymore and it's a responsibility. Horses even, right?
Exactly.
Ponies.
You know, huge responsibility. It's, you know, you wouldn't, you know, just give your kid away. I mean, come on. It just, you know, well, I can't speak for everybody, but sadly, but I mean, my gosh, you know, like, you know, you have to treat these animals as their family members. They are family members. They're sentient beings. They feel just like we do, you know, you have to treat them with respect. And I think that that's what this year is about. Also, it's not just about love and compassion, but it's about respecting our earth, respecting each other, respecting, all the sentient beings that we share this planet with, because I feel like we've been taking this earth and everything that God has given us for granted. And it can be taken away, and it has been taken away. Last year, it was taken away. This year is about rediscovering and appreciating and thanking God for everything that we have been blessed with. Mm. That's just my perspective.
Mm. Is that what the title is about of your film that's coming out, Why on Earth?
So Why on Earth, actually, yeah, it came to fruition. Because this whole film was, it's just the evidence that we show people of what's happening is so shocking that this has continued for generations and generations. Mm. And at the point where we're literally racing against extinction, we've got maybe 5 to 10 years left before we might lose the most iconic species in Africa to extinction. And that's not fair. We've decimated our planet to the point where in the next 5 to 10 years, this is going to happen, and our children and our children's children won't be able to see these animals. It's going to totally change not only our planet, but the entire landscape of who we are as human beings, because it will definitely affect us 100%. It will trickle down to us. We will be the last to be affected by this. Mm. So Why on Earth just came, you know, and there's no question mark after it, so we leave it open.
Mm.
Why are we doing this? Why the hell are we doing this in this day and age? And why do we keep doing it?
Mm.
Is greed and money that important? We have to place more life, more value on life. And that's just the simple fact. The value is in saving the animals, not killing them.
Wow, Katie. Thank you so much. This is such a great show to start and continue our start of the year shows here. Actually, I think we're going to be doing start of the year shows for the rest of the year, because it's really start of the rest of our life.
It's true. It's true. This is a game changer. This year is literally, we've hit a tipping point, and we can't look back. And that's the thing. We have to make conscious decisions that are going to help save us as a species, save the millions of other species we share this planet with, and save our natural world, our oceans, our lakes, our streams, our, you know, when I pray, and I'll share this with you guys. I haven't shared this with anyone else, but when I pray, and I try to pray every day, I pray for the protection of not only all of our Earth species, of course, humans and animals, but the purification, the protection of our rainforests and, you know, and our lakes and our streams and our oceans and all the marine mammals that depend on it, you know, to survive. I pray that we can, you know, I know the Earth will keep going after us. If we're no longer here, I know that it will regenerate. And we've seen it with, oh my God, Chernobyl. I mean, look at that for a fact, and look at, you know, how long that's been. And all these native species have come back, you know, in that area as a result of what happened in Chernobyl. I mean, it's totally been transformed. It's like a forest wonderland now there. So we've seen what wildlife can do to regenerate when humans are no longer around. And look at what happened in the beginning of the pandemic in the Venice Canal. Mm. You saw jellyfish. You saw, I mean, dolphins swimming. When was the last time anyone seen that in the Venice canals?
Mm.
Which are so polluted because there's so much traffic in those canals, you know, in cities, you know, wolves running around and foxes, like it's a forest. We really have to start thinking about what we're doing to affect the natural world around us, because we've taken too much, and it's time that she has to heal. Mother Earth has to heal.
Mm. I'm glad Mother Earth has you. I'm glad we have you. The world has you. Thank you for your prayer and for sharing that with us. And we enjoin with your prayer, and there's so many others that are feeling the same, praying the same. And if you want to join in, you could learn more at worldanimalnews.com, peace, the number 4, animals.net, and follow Katie Cleary on Instagram. And we look forward to the film Why on Earth. Katie, what a pleasure to connect with you. Looking forward to much more coming from you and your camp.
Thank you so much. I love your show, and I really hope that this resonates with, you know, your viewers, because I really think that, you know, each individual person on this earth can make a difference. And it's really, it comes down to, you know, that one person making the choice to make.
Indeed. You've said so much. So grateful. Thank you, Katie Cleary.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Alana from San Francisco. Ever since the lockdown, my life has become miserable. Fortunately, money is not an issue for me, as I have saved money from the times when I was working. However, my true profession has been as an actor, director, and producer of live stage plays, and I miss performing before live audiences. Instead of being joyfully fulfilled at the end of the day, I find myself sad and depressed. So many of my family and friends are looking to me for answers, and I find myself spending more time online and posting and sharing many world events. There appears to be only horror going on in the world, and not just in America, but everywhere. I feel that we are being lied to so often and have been warned about fake news. So my question is, how do we discern what is true? Is there any hope for humanity? What can I share with my family that is helpful? I anxiously await your reply.
My dear friend, more and more people are becoming aware that there is a along with sharing that much of what is being sent to me that is being spread on the news and social media, I share the extensive research I do as to why what appears to be happening. just may truly be in the highest and best good for all concerned. When doing research, you may wish to try several browsers, as some appear to be more in alignment with my worldview, and it always feels good to find others that agree with me. However, I don't just stop when I find someone who agrees with me. I instead continue to research, and after pulling together enough information, I have a conversation with my higher self and with God, asking for guidance. When I do this, I get a strong sense of truth and clarity regarding the situation I am questioning. When people ask me, what is truth? I tell them to not accept anything as truth without doing their own research. I urge them to not believe anything or anyone, including me, without doing the due diligence necessary to invoke the best and clearest answers. And now let's address your question of, is there any hope for humanity? I believe we're on the cusp of creating an amazing world united by love for all. The first step is to be willing to come from the place of faith, trust, and knowing that all is truly well in our world, as this will serve us all much better than being anxious. Anxiety is a form of fear, and although this is a time that offers us much to be concerned about, I urge you to choose concern over fear. Fear creates more fear. By choosing concern, we become aware of the problems and can come together and find solutions. We find the solutions by doing the research and getting together with like-minded people and by sharing our truths with the ones we love. Alana, I am grateful to you for this very important question and trust you will choose to replace your fear with faith, trust, and knowing that we are the power in our world. And when we change our thoughts, we can co-create a new and better world for all.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Michael Fitzpatrick, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo. This is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and we have an internationally renowned and award-winning musical guest on the show. He is a 4-string acoustic cellist and a 5-string electric cellist. He is a composer. He is so much more. We're going to just bring him in right away. Michael Fitzpatrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Filippo. Thank you so much.
It's so great to have you. It's interesting that both of you and our guest have dedicated so much to the world, the planet in such a big way. Where did this musical dedication to humanity come from for you?
I think originally it came from nature, you know, and being in nature as a child. So there was an automatic feeling of connectedness to everything. And having that when I sort of made my way out into the wild world, Cat Stevens song lore, I never lost that thread.
You not only didn't lose the thread, but you had an experience, as I recall hearing you share a story, that solidified your call to action.
That's good recall. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you grew up, my generation, we grew up listening to the Beatles and Hendrix, and but also simultaneously, like when it was coming out. Just to clarify, late 60s, I was a kid, but I was also playing in youth orchestra and playing Bach and Beethoven. And so it was a rather unusual combination of energies musically. But then in the late 70s, early 80s, the rage that everybody was reading was like Carlos Castaneda and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance and so on and so forth. I grew up in Kentucky, which was a very fertile environment. And I would say by the time I hit 17, I understood enough about peak mystical experiences to know that when it started happening, while I was on a concert stage in front of a pretty large audience, I was having a sort of a textbook peak experience, and everything, I would say, went into slow motion. I felt my whole bodily senses went into hyperspace, and I heard this very extraordinary golden sound suddenly start coming out of my cello, and it was quite the revelation. If you've had that, you can't go back to, you just can't go back. Mm. And so that really set me on a journey of like, all right, well, how do I develop that? How do I replicate it? Which was not easy. And then what do I do with it? And all I wanted to do was share it with as many people as possible, because it had affected me so powerfully.
Well, actually, it's interesting because not only, I did get to hear you perform live, which is a completely different experience, and you transmit that not only through the music, your performance, but your whole beingness while you're doing that. You're in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that, and obviously people throughout the world have wanted that and felt that. Not only have they awarded you, but you traveled with the Dalai Lama, is that correct?
25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wait, 25 years? Wait a second. Yeah, like in the blink of an eye.
Right. Yeah, I had to go back to your bio going, wait, is he serious? Yeah, he's serious. That really is. And it's not easy to go to your bio to try and find a name that's famous like the Dalai Lama, because there are all these other ones in there like Pope Francis and, you know, all the presidents and all of these people. So what is it that that you experienced, interestingly enough, sharing on the stages with all these people and the people attending?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, just going back to that experience I was describing at age 17, you basically get annihilated, right, on fundamental level. Just everything you thought you knew about who you are and the way things are, all of that just gets eviscerated. It gets destroyed. And you become, I believe, your truer nature, if not mm-hmm. your true nature, mm-hmm. right? And And when you're in the just the energy, right, which is like a pool, and that's what the beauty of live performance is, you get to all be together in that pool of energy. I know the guys in the Grateful Dead spent a little bit of time with Mickey Hart, and he talks about that, when that moment when everything becomes this giant pool of energy, and everybody knows they're, you know, it's quite a hackneyed thing to say, oh, we're all one. Well, once we get into that pool of energy, we are. The trick is, how do you get into it? Particularly nowadays, with things they're so, you know, the King Crimson song, 21st Century Schizoid Man, they're so schizophrenic, they're so fractured, and they're so fractious, you know, and we're right in the crossroad at the crossing right now. And it's, you know, I'm sure I'm up in the Catskills near Woodstock at the moment, standing on my porch with snow around, but I know you guys are out in LA, but man, it's, you know, we can feel it. I was talking to your compadre Mark earlier today, and it, you know, it's very unsettling. So to answer your question, the goal is, you know, they always talk about in the Buddhist, and even in the, some of the Christian mystic, you know, renew the vows, you know, return to watching the breath. What are the basics that we can draw on? And what I do is I have to force myself as I sit back down at the cello and I literally like move the bow and I move my fingers and then I retune myself. But then when it comes to like being on the stage with whoever it is, a president or, you know, a principal of an elementary school or the kids, right? It doesn't make any difference because we're all in the same boat. And I do feel like it's a job, it's a responsibility, is to get us there as quickly as possible, right? Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't know how do you like give the signal, right? And one day I realized, oh, the silence is the signal. And once the audience understands, oh yeah, that guy's like waiting. Like, what's he waiting for? It's like, oh, did you hear how quiet it got? You know, it's really cool, particularly with kids, because they know. Right? And they understand, oh, this is something serious is about to happen. Right? Mm. They quit clowning around. You know, I was a kid clowning around all the time. So it helps when you know who you're up against. But it's the same thing with folks or in palaces or palladiums. You lay it down and make it clear, okay, we're going to go now. And where we're going is not somewhere out, even though it's going to be far out, but we're going within. And then you know, take a little trip with me. You take them on that journey, which is ultimately the journey to the heart. And you have to basically lay yourself raw and expose your innermost being to them. And that usually, I would say always, as long as you don't yield, right? As long as you don't blink, as long as you don't, a couple times I have been heckled a couple times, but I've dealt with some pretty contentious audiences that thought it was background music. One occasion at the Vatican in particular, and it's like, wow, really? At the Vatican? Right? Another time at the UN. And man, I just bore down on them. And you have to break them. You have to break them. Yeah, you have to break them. It's intense stuff, but ultimately, what it comes down to, you share the love.
You're intense. You're intense,
yeah, man.
Stuff.
That's crazy.
Michael.
It's all crazy.
Speaking of, and it's also interesting. I'll just share this really quick with the audience to know that on the one hand, you're doing like this Ave Maria or something that's, you know, this very, you know, and then you're doing this like on the total opposite side of the spectrum, and the passion goes into both equally and dramatically. It's kind of amazing. And speaking of amazing, we're going to get to hear a piece one of these days, actually. We're going to get you out here. You're going to be out here.
Yeah.
Get to do something live on the Life Changes Show. But tonight we have Dawn of the Millennium. So do you want to set this up before we hear it real quick?
Sure. So that's the last track on the Compassion album of Special Message from His Holiness the Dalai Lama that we did the turn of the millennium inside the largest cave in the world with Tibetan monks and Trappist monks. And it was quite the endeavor. And so this is, it's really like, it's the call, you know, it's the dawn of the millennium, and it's the call to, well, I'll just leave it there. It's the call.
Well, here's Michael Fitzpatrick performing Dawn of the Millennium. Thank you so much. I purposely hadn't wanted to hear it all until the show, just to be able to feel it fresh. And I have to say, one of the things that I loved about it is how you're laying that foundation, that drone, like I'll let everybody interpret it the way they want to, but I just, wow. feeling it down to my core. So thank you, Michael Fitzpatrick. So if you're feeling like I'm feeling right now, go to michaelfitzpatrick.com. Michael and then Fitzpatrick is F-I-T-Z Patrick .com. And Michael, let us share a video on our website, which is equally as moving, Fitzpatrick Invocation of the Earth. I sense a theme here, Michael.
Tuning the planet.
Tuning the planet. Wow. We need a lot of that. And so thank you for being that, doing that. Now, I had a couple other questions, but when you said that, it kind of threw me off a little bit, because I know the title of the second one that we're going to play. So the overthrow of 17 saints. What?
I don't know. That's what the title was that came to me.
Either, huh?
It'll make more sense when you hear it. Right?
Okay.
But I'm not sure what it means. I'm not sure if the saints, the 17 saints, the saints are marching in, if they're doing the overthrow, or if it's an overthrow of the 17 saints. I don't know. Right? I just know it's the overthrow of 17 saints.
Wow.
Maybe it's a football reference. New Orleans. That must be it.
How are they doing? Yeah.
Apparently doing quite well. I guess they're on to the bonus round. So that's a trip. And that's with, I just want to give a plug for my extraordinary colleague, Richard Sisto, who plays piano on that track. That's a live performance from the Master Musicians Festival down in the southern part of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, where I originally hail from. But Sisto was one of Thomas Merton's best friends back in the day, when Merton was corresponding with the Kennedys and Dr. King and on his way to see the Dalai Lama. And Sisto also lived on the same farm with the legendary renegade poet Gary Snyder. So Sisto, being in that guy's presence and his vibe, and then the way he laid it out that night was, man, it was wild. That was a wild night on stage. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just need to hear, we just need to hear it then. So cool. let's hear Michael Fitzpatrick's The Overthrow of 17 Saints.
Thank you.
Michael, I love the fact that they were enthusiastic to clap, but they clapped too soon.
Yeah. Well, it happens. I agree. But see, I could take credit for that being my fault, because I seem to remember I didn't, you know, I could have signaled better, like, whatever you do, don't clap yet, you know. But sometimes you can't. You that's it. The spell is broken.
Well, we're on radio also. So earlier I went, you know, and I thought, oh, it's too soon. But we're on radio, so silence is a little different. But
it
who
is.
Knows? Maybe someday we'll be able to have a little bit more. But actually, thank you. I know it's so special for you to let us air this whole piece like this. And it's also very special. Thank you, BBS Radio and Doug Newsom, for letting us have the extra time so we can get the whole piece in. So this is special
indeed.
All the way around. We have to go, Michael, but I did want to ask you about millennia music, since that is so important to the underserved.
Mm-hmm.
Please share with us a little bit about that before we go.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's really sort of the corporate vessel, the nonprofit that takes all of what we've been talking about to as many people as possible.
Mm.
So, you know, when I come back out west, you know, line up a bunch of visits. If there are folks that are listening that, you know, have places, invitations they'd like to extend, you can reach me through my website. There's an info link somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to take the music, you know, it's a little tricky right now because of the pandemic, but, you know, to the folks that need it, which is anyone that doesn't normally have access to it, folks in homeless shelters and the hospitals and, you know, the world's a mess. It's been a mess, but now it's really a mess. So if the music can be the medicine once again, like it was in so many other key times, then Millennium Music will fulfill its mission. Which is to serve.
Well, so Michael mentioned the website, and that would be at michaelfitzpatrick.com. Again, Fitzpatrick is FITZ, like zebra, patrick.com. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being with us and sharing with us your music at this critical and important time in all of our lives. Thank you, Michael.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, Filippo. And thanks, everyone out there, for listening and tuning in.
Yeah, what a pleasure. Michael Fitzpatrick, and another big thank you again to Katie Cleary. Wow, well, that is our show, our extended show. So thank you so much. And with that, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. And remember, you are enough. You are inherently good.
I am the power.
You are worthy.
Only good comes to me and from me.
I am inherently good.
We are the divine children of God.
I am worthy.
We are the power in our world.
We are enough.
Only good comes to us and from
us. We are inherently good.
You are the divine child of God.
You are enough.
You
are inherently good.
We are calm.
You are worthy.
I am the divine child of God.
I am enough.
We are happy.
I am inherently good.
Only good comes to me.
I am worthy.
We
are enough.
We are the divine children of God.
We are inherently good.
We are the power in our world.
We are
worthy. Only good comes to us and from us.
I am happy.
You are the divine child of God. You are the power in your world. And only good comes to you and from you.
Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.